Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Promoting peace, liberty, and prosperity around the clock. LibertyTalk.fm.
Welcome to Living in Solution with Dr. Elena George. Today we have a really important show on. We are exposed to a lot of things that are supposed to make our lives easy and help us be more efficient. But there's always a consequence for everything that we think is helpful. And EMF is something that we've talked about in the past, but today I wanted to have an expert come on and speak to us about not only what we need to avoid, but more importantly, solutions that we can use to help protect ourselves, our homes, and our lives, quite frankly, because this is a health issue. It's a lot of other issues, a privacy issue. It's, how can I put it? It's a safety issue. And health is really something that the show focuses on. And if you don't know something, then you can't help yourself. And my second mantra after follow the money is you don't know what you don't know. So what we're going to do today is speak with Mr. Bill Cadwalder. He's a certified electromagnetic radiation specialist. He's also an author of a book, Exposed, The Electronic Sickening of America and How to Protect Yourself, including dangers of 5G and smart devices, and also the co-author of Quick and Easy EMF Guide, 99 Tips to Lower Harmful Electromagnetic Radiation. And he's an international, he's spoken at international conferences, the annual Cancer Convention Conference. He's given multiple doctor symposiums in LA, and he's taught at the Building Biology Institute. He serves as a coach for Building Biology Institute's apprentice program. And his company, Stop Dirty Electricity, provides on-site EMF inspections in Nevada, Utah, Arizona, and Southern California. And he speaks eloquently to solutions to harmful electromagnetic radiation. And so, Mr. Cadwalder, I just want to thank you so much for coming on. I know how busy you are, and you have, I'm sure, a full plate. So thank you so much for your time.
You're welcome, Doctor. Thanks for having me and discussing this most important issues of EMF. And as you said, we're trying to avoid it as much as possible. And also, we have quick and easy solutions as well that anyone can implement. It doesn't take too much time, and it can reduce the EMF load by a long way. So again, hopefully we'll get to that toward the end or middle or end, and we can have solutions as well to all the issues that we're talking about.
Excellent. You know, the main question I think that people will have that don't know anything about EMF is, why should they care? What is the thing about EMF that, I don't care who you are, what walk of life you're from, as a human, as a living creature, it will affect you. So what do they need to know to start the process of enlightenment?
Good question. You know, there's a lot to care about. One is your health, and that's what a lot of people focus on. But then also your children and grandchildren are in great peril. Most parents don't even know what they're subjecting grandparents and parents, their kids to. And your privacy is starting to become a big concern. Every other week we hear some database was compromised somehow, some way, and personal information actually went to people who we don't want them to have it. And finally, the environment as a whole is affected as well. And talking about your health, do you want me to start there? Is that a good place to start?
That's a perfect place to start.
Great. So one of the biggest things now is glioblastoma multiforme brain tumors, GPM, as they're known for short, are on the rise in the Netherlands, England, Denmark, Australia, and even a USC study confirms a similar trend in the USA. And in about 18 months, we had 7 of our close friends develop a tumor in their brain. They weren't necessarily glioblastoma multiforme, some were. And when we were young, in our early 20s, younger, how many of our friends had brain tumors, let alone 7 in 18 months? Mm-hmm. doctor? I mean, did you have a lot of friends with brain tumors early in their 20s?
I didn't. And glioblastoma when I was in medical school was very rare. So for, and it's a newswoman in Atlanta who's been diagnosed with that, with the same tumor. So there's something going on, because for something to become rare, to have seven people that you know, is a major deal.
And then, unfortunately, the last one passed away. He had surgery. He had actually chemo, advanced chemo on it. We had a sigh of relief, and this is where I worked. And then it grew back. Surgery, massive chemo, and then he died.
My
he left a wife who is now a widow and seven children who are now fatherless. And at that moment in time, I knew technology, the telecommunications companies were never going to tell us how to use these devices in the safest possible mode. And that's one of the things we did. Just today, I was at a house and showing people what we could do to use these things in the safest possible mode. But it is on the increase. In the Netherlands, they've doubled. They doubled from about 1989 to about 2010. The Apple iPhone was introduced in about December or November of 2007. And every year these things have gone up. It's just a remarkable thing in a bad sense. Even England had double the tumors from 1995 to 2015. In the cell phone, most people started to get cell phones in the U.S. in the early 90s. I think I got mine in about 92 or 93. So these are definitely what happens pre-cell phone or right when cell phones started, mm-hmm. and then what happened afterwards. And even in Netherlands, in Denmark, from 1995 to 2017, it tripled. So, you know, what's happening here? It's a crazy thing. And most of the crazy in a bad sense, but most of the things, most of the time when they notice where the tumor is, it's normally on the same side as they use the cell phone, or when they sleep in bed, it's on that nightstand that's right next to their head. And one of the things people don't quite understand is when you have a cell phone, and let's say it's just sitting there, you're not making a call, it's still sending bursts of radiation. Three types of bursts, one to connect to a cell phone tower. It's always looking for one every 6 to 30 seconds. Another burst trying to look for a Wi-Fi every 6 to 30 seconds. And then as well as Bluetooth every 6 to 30 seconds, it's trying to find these devices. And if it doesn't find it, it actually powers up. Most of them will power up. So when you have that phone in your pocket, it's not just a brick. It's actually sending bursts of radiation on a regular basis. Can I mention a personal adventure I had?
Sure.
It was a 16-year-old, and so he was in school. He put his cell phone in his front pocket as a freshman in school and did that all the way through his actual high school, and then graduated. And then shortly after he graduated, he was hiking behind his house, jumped off a rock, and literally broke his hip, a 19-year-old. Mm. So they rushed him to emergency, and they put him up on the table. And the first thing the surgeon found, what she found was when she opened it up, there was a huge tumor right where he carried his cell phone, right side of the body. And then she dug through the tumor, and she couldn't believe her eyes. The bone had completely dissolved. She could push her finger right through where the bone used to be. So it's a sad thing. And obviously he wasn't on that phone all the time, but it's just sitting there constantly creating radiation. And there's over 5,000 studies done by independent sources now that show the causation and or correlation between cell phone use, between all these electronics, in certain diseases or cancers.
Well, let's take our first break and actually delve into that when we come back. You're living
sure.
in the solution. Welcome back to Living the Solution. We're speaking of Mr. Bill Cadwalder, and you should go to his website, stopdirtyelectricity.com. He's a certified electromagnetic radiation specialist. and his company specializes, consulting firm specializes in going to the workplace, school, or home to evaluate your exposure to EMF. And before the break, we were talking about cancer, and it's tragic, but there are other things in, like neurological changes, am I correct, that can also, behavioral changes that can also occur from being exposed to EMF.
That's exactly right. Back all the way back into 2002, when we had a lot of cell towers, Santini out of France actually came up with 16 neurobehavioral symptoms if you live near a cell tower. And he graphed all that out. It's actually in my book, Exposed: Electronic Sickening of America. But over 70% of the people who were within about 10 meters, about 30 feet of a cell tower, had fatigue. And it's just a constant before and after, when it was turned on, when it was erected, all these neurobehavioral symptoms. And literally yesterday, I got a call from a person who felt good. They put a cell tower probably about 800 feet away from his house. And all of a sudden, a week and a half ago, started to get a headache he can't get rid of. And then he started to become anxious, just anxious. And literally, I was over there yesterday because he called me up yesterday, but I did a quick trip just to give him a quick solution. And I measured. And so there's six types of radiation. We can get into that a little bit later if you want. There's three radiations from the wires, overhead wires or wires in your home. There's electric radiation, magnetic radiation, and what's called dirty electricity. And there's three radiations through the air, Wi-Fi, wireless, and Bluetooth, commonly called RF. So in the Wi-Fi, wireless, and Bluetooth, the wireless that would come from a cell tower, we want that in the low 100s. If someone is more normal, if they're more sensitive, we want it 10 to 99. And if they're real sensitive, we want it under 10. And when I measured his current bedroom where he was sleeping, instead of being in the low hundreds or medium hundreds, it was actually 12,000.
Wow.
12,000. And so I had a quick solution for him. I'm going to see him next week. But again, there are a lot of neurobehavioral issues that are coming around. In my book, I cover about six pages of health issues, cancer, neurobehavioral, as well as just other health issues as well.
Yeah, I'm looking at some of them that you listed: ADHD, Alzheimer's, asthma, autism, birth defects, blood-brain barrier, going through the blood-brain barrier, affecting the brain, blood pressure issues, and chronic fatigue. And these are diseases that doctors treat all the time, and we've never been able, except for asthma, to have a really good handle on where they came from and how, what we need to do to treat it. And we're so invested in treating the symptom and not the problem. I don't think many doctors have even thought about EMF as a cause. And I'm blessed because I started to think outside the box pretty recently about people coming in with ringing in the ear and problems with hearing loss. And it turns out they were using Bluetooth headsets for work for hours on end, and they were fine before they started using it, or they have a router in their bedroom, and all these things that I've never really thought about before. But is that something that doctors really need, and people, to start paying attention to?
Oh, yes. And it's become such a focus. Once a year, they have an EMF medical conference now. So it's normally in January of the year, and they have doctors around the world that presented that. So if your listeners are more interested in the doctor side of it, that side of it, then they can look up EMF Medical Summit, the EMF Medical Summit, and it's once a year. I spoke at the EMF Health Summit this year, just about 2 weeks ago, and that's more of not slanted toward doctors, although doctors can get benefits. There were 44 international experts that spoke on that. And I think with the doctors' EMF medical summit, I think there were about 30 to 40 as well that were doctors speaking specifically about their practice. And as you talked about ringing in the ears, it's crazy how many people have ringing in their ears. Mm-hmm. And if you think about all the new hearing aids, almost all the new hearing aids have Bluetooth. And I've measured it. They're in normally in anywhere from 70,000 into 170,000. And that's in both ears. And it's for the listeners, that's microwatts per meter squared. And it's a real huge problem. I don't know if you've heard of Ann Louise Gittleman. Mm-hmm. So she's an author as well and a nutritionist. In about 2008, all of a sudden she developed a tumor in the saliva gland, mm-hmm. I think. And she didn't know what it was, and she was using her cell phone on that side of her head. So the Apple, I measured the AirPods by Apple at a conference, and it was 172,000. So normally when I go out to a house, I have good, better, and best solutions. So as you said, really try to avoid those. If someone has to use it for a short period of time. And as soon as you're done, take them and get them out of your ears. They're really powerful. And they're starting to get tongue cancers now for people who literally have never smoked. But when it's in the head area, the jaw area, and people are using cell phones, they're sleeping next to their phone on their nightstand, that can cause huge, huge problems.
Wow. I mean, it's so insidious. I mean, the marketing of these products without any informed consent, really, about the due diligence that you really need to have to protect yourself. I have to ask the question from a legal standard. I mean, moral and ethical is one. They don't have that, apparently. But from a legal standard, why aren't these companies being made to give people an absolute primer on safety? I mean, it's not you're not going to use them, but using them safely. Why isn't the government helping, you know, humanity with this?
So in my book Exposed, I have some time frames of different health issues and products. So I have like the smoking and lung cancer. So the first article came out in 1929, but because of government and business collusion, it wasn't until the late 90s that they had sort of a settlement. And I have PCBs, I have lead. And so throughout that entire thing, you have government and business in collusion. Another big problem is the lobbying. So pharmaceuticals is the second, and I just updated this in my 2020 version of Exposed. Pharmaceuticals are the second largest lobbying group, but now telecommunications and electrical utilities now have surpassed pharmaceutical. They spend $100 million more to convince senators and representatives to not have any laws or restrictions on how anyone uses this technology. So that's the problem, is the lobbying dollars at this point. And they passed the regulations for Wi-Fi, wireless, and Bluetooth radiation in 1997. It was the 1996 telecommunications bill, and they got the standards in about 1997. And it was actually written by the cell phone companies.
Oh, wow.
So their limits are so high, the only way you would get that is if you put your head right next to a cell tower.
My goodness. Wow, you think about this.
That's the problem.
It's the same template as healthcare, isn't it? And we can,
yes.
The vaccine industry got liability, no liability associated with any untoward event. And then it was an explosion of various vaccines that have come on the market. Still to this day, you have to really hope for the best if you get injured, because you're kind of on your own. And is there any safety? Yeah. Has there been any real safety data? I know the telecommunications, 5G is coming out. I think I've heard rumblings about 6G. Has there been any safety testing done on what that means for, because it's higher radiation, isn't it? When you compare the initial LTE and all those other lower level wireless iterations, does it go up in power as they go through different 4G, 5G, et cetera? What's the difference?
Yeah, so normally the G just means generation. Mm-hmm. So 2G, we have 2G, 3G, 4G, 5G, and then 6G is just in the planning stages. So they haven't come up with the standards, but you're correct. And the more they have different frequencies that they use these at, so sort of like a radio, you can turn, you know, different channels, and that's actually a different frequency. Mm-hmm. Similarly, they broadcast these at different frequencies, and they have three levels of 5G. They have low level, meaning lower frequency, mid-level, and then high frequency. And most of the time when they're talking about 5G, they're talking about the highest frequency, which is what's called a millimeter wave. So some of the 5G can be a millimeter wave, and it does increase, the power density does increase. So the way we measure the signal is through power density. And normally the more the faster the signal is, then the more radiation there is. And 5G is faster than 4G and 4G LTE. 4G was faster than 3G and so on. So mm-hmm. yes, there's more radiation, and it's just becoming, and the others are not going away. So 2G is still around all the way up through 4G LTE. And when they put 5G, they just add another antenna to your phone. And so yes, it's not going away. It is more dangerous because it is you can carry more information, you know, data. Mm-hmm. And because of that, then there's more radiation associated with it.
Wow. You know, I want to explore that more and put this into real terms for parents and their children, because technology has become kind of crazy. Monitors for babies and pacifiers with monitors in them. It sounds awesome, but when you really think about what you said, I'd like to explore how that puts children at risk when we come back. So let's take our second break. You're living in the solution. Welcome back to Living the Solution. We're speaking with Mr. Bill Cadwalder. Again, his website is stopdirtyelectricity.com, and he's the author of Exposed, the Electronic Sickening of America and How to Protect Yourself. And now looking at, you know, reading your book and looking at things that you've done online, and you've done a lot of stuff, people should go and look you up on YouTube. There's a real movement towards technology in children and infants, from the baby monitors to kids with their lap, you know, baby cribs, et cetera, that has a catchment for an iPad. So the baby gets distracted by, I mean, it's just amazing what parents would allow if they knew. I don't know if they know. If they allow all of this radiation, your child to be just bathed in it from infancy and on. If you describe the teen who had a tumor based on basically maybe three or four years of exposure, what does that mean for an infant from age, you know, from the time you get home and then on of exposure? Is there anybody doing testing on anything that involves children?
Well, the manufacturers are not required to do any long-term studies at all. They're, we call them the Wi-Fi babies. There's no pre-market study. They're not required to do any of that. No long-term studies. And because of that, they come out with a upper limit of 10 million that the cell phone companies, came up with, saying it was safe. And there's over 5,000 studies now saying, from independent sources, that say levels at certain levels, a lot lower than 10 million, obviously, are not safe. And they describe the studies that they have. And I have in my book, Exposed, we reference about 300 of those. And as you talked about, one of the saddest things is what they're doing to babies. So except for this year, I go out to Consumer Electronics Show in Las Vegas, Nevada, where I live. And they have all the new gadgets. And actually in the back of Exposed and 99 Tips, we have a list by room. So if someone doesn't have a meter, they can go like to a nursery or a kitchen. And I have a list of all the possible things that could be in a room that could cause radiation and that could be a health issue. But just to cover two of them is they have a, as you mentioned, they have a Bluetooth bottle now, a baby bottle. So it tells the parent what the temperature of the liquid is, the milk, and then is it half full, is it almost gone? So literally the baby is wrapping his or her arms around a cell phone tower. That is not good.
No.
And I often say, when I speak, I say, well, you think that's bad? Look at this next slide. There's a Wi-Fi diaper that tells the parent when the baby's wet. Now you've taken a cell tower and wrapped it around the baby's abdomen. And remember, the younger you are, the more division of cells you have and the more chances they have to become cancerous. So as you talked about kids, that's one of the biggest problems. And the final slide I often show is, as you said, a Bluetooth pacifier. So now the parent on their cell phone can determine the temperature of the baby is sucking on a cell tower. One of the worst things ever that they've come out with those three items. And the studies that they have normally are done on mammals, you know, rats or mice or things like that, but obviously not on people. But they do show on some of the studies, there was a study that showed on colorectal cancer. So colorectal cancer for 65 and above is actually dropping. So it's actually dropping from 2017 to 2019. So you say, oh, okay, better solutions. But from ages 20 to 49, colorectal cancer is increasing. Well, how can that be? They have a stronger immune system. Could it be due to poor nutrition, maybe sedentary lifestyle, maybe obesity, maybe some other risk factors? Or could it be carrying a cell phone in your front or back pocket? How many ladies carry their cell phone in their back pocket? How many guys carry their cell phone in their front pocket? And in the U.S., since 2007, fertility rates have decreased every single year, and that was the year the smartphone was introduced, the iPhone. So again, there's huge problems and with teenagers with that, but no specific studies, just mainly you know, collecting information and then looking at their age and saying, well, how can you have more colorectal cancer? Mm-hmm. And or how can the rates be increasing if you're 20 to 49 and decreasing if you're greater than 65? It just doesn't make sense.
Well, you don't take a, you don't need to be a rocket science and to not figure this out. You just have to be a critical thinker. And, you know, I remember when millimeter wave strikes a chord in me, because that's the same technology that's used in those scanner machines in the airports. And I remember reading a study about how it's, theoretically, the energy could interfere with your DNA. And if that's the case and it crosses the blood-brain barrier, I can only imagine all of these injuries that the body is going to experience. And it changes everything, doesn't it? I mean, it's changing fertility rate. It's changing cancer rates. It's changing how children develop. And anxiety, depression is one of the major things that we're seeing in the healthcare field. I wonder how much of that is being augmented now by this overload of children being online for school, people working from home on the computer, probably more and less individual humanity contact and more contact with radiation, you know, promoting devices. I mean, this is an interesting phenomenon, and we now know the problem. How do we start to take our power back and fix this?
You know, normally you just basically on the grassroots level, I speak, you know, before COVID, I spoke a lot. So once COVID, you know, sort of gets a little bit less, then I'll go back to speaking. And just had the house I was at this morning, the lady wants to talk to her friends. So it's mainly word of mouth. Mm-hmm. Because the city of Berkeley actually made the the cell phone sellers, the people who sold cell phones, they had actually, I think it was 8 or 10 points saying, you know, this could cause this, hold this away from this, and don't do certain things that we teach on a regular basis. Mm-hmm. The cell phone companies came in, sued them, and made them take that away. So again, it's just getting the word out. I print my brochure. I have a little brochure people can get as well, 10 ways you can reduce radiation exposure now, the wireless radiation. And I print up these. I have the digital form on my website you can download for free, but I print them up 3,000 at a time. And they're in doctor's offices, you know, just different offices where people can pick it up. But they sort of have to have a desire, or they had to have something happen to them, mm-hmm. you know, where, hey, this doesn't make sense, or a friend or a close friend. But don't look toward the, if it took 70 years for the federal government to settle with the tobacco companies, there is another 70 years for the cell phone companies to admit. And they never admit that there's wrong. And most people don't know this. There's not a cell phone company now. They cannot get insurance. They cannot buy any insurance that would isolate them from any health effects from a cell phone. So they know no one, Lloyd's of London won't insure any of the cell phone manufacturers from any health effects at all.
So then they don't have... they don't have liability. They're not liability free, essentially. So somebody could sue them if they thought that they got injured from a cell phone. They would be able to move forward with that. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, they've tried, you know, for the last 20 years, and normally it never goes anywhere because the federal government in 1997 said 10 million was the limit. The upper limit, and everything below that is safe. So when they go in and they have a court case, they say, what was it? And they said it was, you know, under 10 million. So again, you're following the government regulations and guidelines. The other thing is, most people don't know, if you look in the fine print to your cell phone, it says in the deep, deep part of the cell phone information when you buy a new cell phone, it says, never hold this phone next to your body.
But they give all these, you know, accoutrements to do it. Holsters to put it on your waistband, you know, all these things to make it easy for you to hold it. You know, that's really disingenuous, isn't it? But
yeah, it's crazy. And they know what they have. And I actually heard a colleague of mine said he knew he went to a vice president's house of one of these cell phone companies, and they've seen the plans in case this starts to blow up, what they're going to do. It's a problem. So that's why we concentrate on solutions.
Agreed.
We can't change all these laws. We can't do this, but wow, we can concentrate on solutions. And in most cases, we can reduce that radiation a significant amount just by doing small little actions here and there. You know, speakerphone on your phone. And I don't know if you want to go through some of those now or talk about some other things.
I do. I want to go through solutions, but let's take our last break so that we don't have to be interrupted. So let's take our last break. You're living in the solution. Welcome back to Living the Solution. We're speaking with Mr. Bill Kellerwalder. And we are speaking about now solutions to this problem. I think you did a wonderful job of explaining the consequences of this onslaught of radiation and the fact that we don't have advocates in the government or in the cell phone industry that are advocates for us as the consumer. So now we need to take our power back. Let's talk about the homes. A lot of people have routers, they have wireless setups, and that's where we spend a majority of our time. How can we make that safe? What are the things that we need to start doing? I wish I lived in an area that I can have you come and check my home out. The service that you offer is something that takes the individual out, because you're the professional that's going to go and do everything, look at every nook and cranny and figure out the configuration, right?
Right, right. But there's some things that people can do, and they're included on that brochure, 10 ways you can reduce radiation exposure right now. So, for anything that's plugged in, if you want to start with that, like electric and magnetic, mm-hmm. anything that's plugged in creates radiation normally. So normally, if it's electric radiation or magnetic radiation, just cut the power to whenever possible. So related to a router, if you're not using a router, unplug it. If you're using it all the way during the day, then basically at least unplug it or turn it off at night when you sleep. And there's actually bags, they're called signal tamer bags, that are at lessemf.com. And what happens is you can put this over a router. That's what I did yesterday in a home, just as a quick solution until I see the gentleman. And we had the router, it was at 2.5 million plus, and it brought it down to about 1900 on the router, and then right on the router. So that's a huge drop. And then where you were in the room, where you sit, stand, and sleep is where we measured. We actually got them down to 650. So it was, the highest was 2.5 million, but you can do that with the router. Often what I do is I recommend buying a little cutoff switch, mm-hmm. and it's at one of the big box stores, like the hardware stores, and it's just about $9.50. You plug it into the wall, and then you plug the router into that, the Wi-Fi router. And then you have a little remote control, and so you can turn that off whenever you're not using it. So two things, shielding it with a signal tamer, and or you can turn it off whenever you're not using it, as well as move it as far away from people where they sit, stand, and sleep. That's another benefit for the router you can do. The other thing I would recommend is for your cell phone, don't keep them on your nightstand. So don't, 19 out of 20 people I talk to charge their cell phone on the nightstand. It's very close. It creates Wi-Fi, wireless, and Bluetooth radiation, as well as radiation from the wires. It'll create electric, magnetic, and dirty electricity as well. So move it as far away as you can. So with mine, I normally, I have it in my bathroom. So that's where I keep it, as far away. And if someone, most of the time we hope people will keep it off, but if they do need it on for emergency calls, I understand that. So keep it as far away as you can, and in a bathroom, off a bedroom, normally you can hear that, but move it as far away as you can. Distance is your friend with that.
What is dirty electricity? You mentioned that a couple times. I just want to make sure people understand what that means.
So there's three, think of the power three. There's radiation through the air, Wi-Fi, wireless, and Bluetooth, commonly called RF. And then there's radiation from wires, overhead or wires in your wall, electric radiation, magnetic radiation, and then what's called dirty electricity. Dirty electricity is high frequency voltage, transients, and harmonics that actually piggyback on your on the wires now, or electric wires that weren't there decades ago. So any electronic device, any solar system that people install on their house, any pool pump, that will create dirty electricity. And if your neighbor has dirty electricity, it can actually be fed into your house through the electrical grid. The power company is not required to filter that out. But there's huge problems. There was actually a school where they had high dirty electricity. And there were about, I think about 34, 35 children who use the little asthma, you know, the little spray asthma, mm-hmm. you know, inhalers.
The pumps, uh-huh.
And then actually after they reduced the dirty electricity, then actually only two out of the 35 kids needed those little asthma, you know, the little
inhalers,
I think they call it.
Inhalers, uh-huh.
So, yeah, that's anecdotal information, but you know, there has to be something to that. And so dirty electricity is a range of radiation from where your electric wires stop at about 60 hertz, and it goes all the way up to about 27 megahertz. So, and then at about 27 megahertz, not to confuse the listeners, is where all your Wi-Fi, wireless, and Bluetooth devices, they start above that as well. So it's just frequencies through the air that get onto your wires that are caused by electronics, solar panels and pool pumps, anything that is in electronics will create it. So that's why we mainly recommend that if you do have electronics like the smart TV or something, any electronics with a Wi-Fi, wireless, the Bluetooth component, you need to cut the power to that off when it's not in use. A lot of them continue to broadcast similar to your phone, trying to pick up someone who's interested in connecting with them. So that little cutoff switch works well, again, at the big box stores for about $9.50.
Wow, I didn't realize with the smart TV is the same thing, the same principle. So
yeah.
It's amazing. So what about your laptop? Because a lot of people put it on their laps as they're using it. Is there, and I know that you can shield it, but I'm concerned that when you put it under it, it reflects back at you. How can you safely use a laptop?
So a laptop, I would never put it on your lap if you can. I would always have it on a table. And then what we often do with laptops is we hardwire them to the Ethernet to, now, obviously, if you're in a restaurant or a coffee shop, you can't do that. But at home, what we do is there's a little adapter. I carry them with me. They plug into the laptop, and then an Ethernet cable plugs into that. And then if you're close to your router, you can just plug it into the back of your router. If you're not close, then they sell little boxes that plug in next to the router. There's two of them. You plug one in next to the router. And then you plug the second one in where your laptop is, and it uses the electrical wires in your home to send the signal. So it actually gets on electrical wires and sends them to the other box. And so at that point, you can turn airplane mode on and Bluetooth and Wi-Fi off. And it's faster and it's more secure as well. So for accessing the internet, that's what I would recommend. If you're just watching a movie, I would try to download the movie. And then the most important thing on any of these devices is airplane mode on, Bluetooth and Wi-Fi off, will turn off all the radiation on a wireless device. So that's how you can use your laptop safer, is to actually hardwire it. The other thing on the laptop is if whenever possible, I wouldn't have it plugged in. So try to use it as many hours as you can unplugged, because the wire itself, there's radiation on that wire, the plug, the wire that plugs into the laptop. Mm-hmm. There's electric radiation, magnetic radiation, and dirty electricity. So if you can use it as much as possible unplugged. When you do use the two boxes I was talking about mm-hmm. to go over, and it's Ethernet over power lines is what they call it, Ethernet over power lines. Mm-hmm. Then you do want to buy a dirty electricity filter that can cause dirty electricity. And then the dirty electricity filter will then filter it out. So out of those six radiations, three from the wire and six, three through the air, dirty electricity is the only one that they sell filters to filter out the dirty electricity. GreenWave filters. I think I have them on my website. GreenWaveFilters.com actually sells filters. And then there's another company called Stetzer. And they're little plug-in filters. Stetzer's, I think, are about $31. GreenWaves are about $29. And you can just plug them in. And then if you ever leave the residence, you can just unplug them and take them with you. I would always recommend that you use a meter to measure how much dirty electricity there is so you know how many filters to plug in. And GreenWave will actually, in the first 30 days, if you buy filters and a meter, what they will do is after that 30 days, or before the 30 days is over, if you send the meter back and the filters back, then they'll give you your money back for the filters you return and your full amount for the meter. Mm-hmm. So you can literally use the meter free for a month.
Well, that's pretty neat. Because, I mean, you can't just assume this is a way to quantitate what's going on. So you're not guessing, which makes it a lot more efficient.
Yes. Yes. I would always recommend if you can use a meter, because it, I find levels from 500 or 300 all the way up to 2000 and it can be different within the house. So, my site is called Stop Dirty Electricity, but of course we measure everything. You know, besides dirty electricity, we measure all six radiations as well.
Well, you know, time goes so quickly, but I want to make sure that people get your information. How can they buy your book?
Your books? They can either go to Amazon and put in Exposed, Electronic Sickening of America, and or they can go to my website, stopdirtyelectricity.com, and I think I have Buy the Book, and you can buy the book right there. So, and it'll just take you a link right into there. And we do have the new 2020 update. So we did update it in 2020 for all the new things in the middle of COVID, actually.
Interesting. And for people who are fortunate to live in an area that they can, you know, contract your services, can they reach you through the stopdirtyelectricity.com as well? Or how can they reach you to actually get you to come and assess them?
There's a contact form, so they can fill that out on the page, or they can call the business number 702-845-5794. And there are other people throughout the U.S. and around the world, so if they type into Google, find an expert Building Biology Institute. So if they go to Building Biology Institute, I think it's .org, buildingbiologyinstitute.org. They can go there and go find an expert, and it's by state, country and state. So if I'm not in their particular area, they can do that. I also do phone consulting. So there are people who want to talk to me over the phone. They might, and they normally have their own meters. So mm-hmm. I do phone consulting as well for that. And I just want to mention something. If on the dirty electricity filters, there is a 5% off coupon. It's called SAFE7, S-A-F-E. The number 7. So if they want to use it, that's my discount code. I get a small referral fee, you know, for that, but they can save 5%, you know, off that if they want to buy that as well. But I always mention to anyone, whatever product you're going to buy, don't necessarily go to my website. Just find what the best deal on the web for you is.
Just do something. That's the key, because doing nothing is not the answer. Mr. Caldwalder, thank you so much for joining me today. I really enjoyed our conversation. I'd love to have you come back, because this is a huge topic. It affects everybody. And this is how we can control our health. And it's not like anybody's going to look out for us if we don't do it ourselves. So thank you so much for joining me.
You're welcome. Thanks again for giving me a platform to express all the some of the issues with EMFs. It is very, very important.
It is, and it's a pleasure, and I look forward to having another one with you. Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Doctor. I sure appreciate it.
My pleasure. And thank you, everybody, for living in the solution.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.